Welcome to our morning show on WRCO and WRCE. I'm Phil Nee. We have some community conversation today as we approach back to school. And we focused on a couple of area districts recently. Today, it's our turn to talk about the Ithaca District. And joining us in the studio is Adam Hess. Hi, Adam.
Do I talk into this side of the microphone?
Yes, for this day you do. That's absolutely right.
Yeah, this is strange. I'm not sitting in front of the board. I have to get used to this side of the table.
Yeah, you'll be used to it by the end of the hour.
Right.
Here, but we're talking to you about your real job. People know you on Saturday mornings here at WRCO, but your real job is at Ithaca.
Yeah, I'm the Director of Technology, IT Manager, been there since 2015, came on board. Seems like yesterday, but of course, you know, we're in September, I'll be heading into my eighth year. I started about three weeks into the school year back in 2015, came up from my last company from Milwaukee, and it was kind of nice. I'd done a lot of traveling with Fidelity Information Services. We were based out of Milwaukee and Tampa, so, and I got to work from home, but did a lot of traveling. And then when I took the job at Ithaca, I'm literally 6 minutes from my job and then 9 minutes from my part-time job here. So, you know, the gas bill in life got a whole lot better.
You can ride your bike.
Yeah, almost. There you go.
So when we talk about back to school, a lot of people are thinking, oh, you know, I got to change my schedule. For you, you work the whole year. It's just that the building won't be quite as quiet
correct.
In a couple of weeks, right?
100% correct. Yeah, I'm a year-round employee as my staff. I have a couple of staff under me as well. They're year-round. Frank Waslick and his staff year-round, and of course, the district office staff, which includes new business manager Lori Pizer, replacing longtime stalwart. We had Cheryl Richards in there, and she, you know, anybody who knew anything about Ithaca, I don't care if they were calling from, you know, Door County, they knew who our business manager was, and that's kind of going to be a big change for Ithaca. But yeah, they're year-round in that office as well. So not only a new business manager, but new superintendent as well. Julie Prouty led the Ithaca District through the pandemic, did a great job leading us where we needed to be. And then Mr. Greg Herbst has replaced her. So he, you know, we talk about people who have full plates. He's the high school principal, the middle school principal, and the school superintendent.
He does stay busy, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. That's talk about year-round. Year-round and then some. Yeah. And you'll see him at volleyball matches and wrestling matches and football games and baseball games. And yeah, I think he's going to be a real credit to Ithaca moving forward.
Yeah, he really is. And yeah, credit to him, because to me, he's kind of that throwback. I see him with his three-piece suit at volleyball and basketball and wrestling matches and band concerts and everything.
I referred to him... to an Ithaca alum one time, I said, he's Mr. Majeski without the yelling. Mr. Majeski, you know, he had a large a stature, both, you know, physically and metaphysically, but he would get your attention. You know, it'd be like a deep growling. You could hear it from three hollers over. Hess, get over here.
Exactly.
And Greg's just a lot more mellow. And he's like, Adam, let's have a talk.
Yeah, probably happens quite often.
It does, yeah. Yeah, basically from like 1983 moving forward, you know, I hear the principal call me and I cringe.
Right.
Even as an employee.
Well, let's go back a little bit with history at Ithaca Schools. I was there when they brought the first computer in. It was in Mr. Donahoe's room.
Yep.
And I'm a little older than you. And the storage system involved a cassette recorder that you patched in. That's where your memory was.
Yeah, and that was, I think it was a Tandy. It could have been like a TRS-80, TRS-60, depending upon how early it went. But I remember... And this is where I took a lot of my lead. I didn't learn a lot of coding from Mr. Donahoe, but here's one thing I did learn computer-wise from Mr. Donahoe. If the software wasn't written, create it. Just create it yourself. And he was great at that. He had statistical equations being pumped out of that computer, and he took care of stats on that computer. And he wanted to compare, let's say, you know, basketball free throw shooting percentage at 5 p.m. on a Wednesday with five of his basketball girls after they ate his spaghetti meal, right? So there's no software like that that's going to compare all that. This is pre-Excel, pre-Lotus 1, 2, 3. So he would write that software to kick those numbers out. And I remember thinking, well, that can't be real easy to do. And then he had the IBM operating system. And then my friend and myself, way back in early elementary school, I'm not sure how we were identified, but we were both, Chuck Lenz and myself, we were identified as having an ability that maybe other students didn't relate it to computers. So I believe it was a grant that Ithaca got late 70s, early 80s to get a couple of Apple II computers. Nobody knew how to run them. Nobody knew how to turn them on, basically. And so they would take us an hour or two every day, sit us in front of this computer and say, yeah, figure it out. Here you go. And my passion for technology was sparked then. And so that was the difference between the Apple operating system and then what Mr. Donahoe had in his room, which was the IBM compatible. And then shortly after that point, it switched to floppy disks that had, yeah, you know, 10 kilobytes. Okay, put that into perspective. I have a phone in front of me right now that I take a camera with, or take a picture with the camera on there, and that can be upwards of 20 to 25 megabytes per picture, which means you couldn't, on a single floppy disk, you couldn't even get half of a picture on there in today's standards.
Isn't that something? So many people had foresight back then, and I remember, you know, in all my glory thinking, what am I ever going to use a computer for?
Right?
There's, you know, why am I even studying this? And now I don't know that there is a job that does not use a computer in some form.
No, you are absolutely correct. I don't care if you are an auto mechanic, if you're a CEO, if you're farming, if you're working in a wastewater treatment plant or radio. Every single day, there is a reason that you have to be in front of a computer. I don't care if it's entering timesheets, if it's tracking inventory, if it's, you know, writing software. But you're right. Every single profession has to, if they want to keep up with times, has to touch a computer at some point during the day.
They do, and that's why it's so important, you know, and I think students today starting out at the 4K, 3K level, I mean, they're learning right along. They're going to be so much further ahead than we ever were.
Right. My joke with people is that we have changed students, human beings, at the DNA, the evolutionary level, that when they're born, they're being born swiping to the left and swiping to the right. Now that's, you know, that's a joke, but it's pretty accurate that one of the first movements now that kids are picking up is once they get the cognitive ability, is a left right swipe and being able to hold a phone or a tablet. Now, we as a society, as parents, as educators, we have to be the ones who limit that time. You know, go outside, run around, kick a ball, chase a dog. You know, we need to be the people that say, technology is great. It's my life. Technology is my livelihood. But I also have to be able to say, hey, turn that device off. Mm-hmm. And we as a society have to be willing to do that and have actual human interaction. But I think there's a happy medium. I really do. But yeah, think about a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old and their computer ability and knowledge, how much further along than they were than most, you know, 18-year-olds 20, 30, 40 years ago. It's amazing.
Right. Yeah. Just ask a 4-year-old. They can help you out, possibly.
help me program my Roku.
Well, let's talk about Ithaca behind the scenes a little bit. Tell me about the Raptor system.
Yeah. Okay. So the Raptor system is something, and this will be the first school year that we actually start the school year with. We put it into production a little bit last year. We've been working with the Raptor company the last couple of years. We finally got the system up and running and configured for our district. But what that does, Raptor is basically, it's a people management software system, and it allows us to control knowledge of who's on campus, when they're on campus, where they're going, from the student level all the way up to a vendor level and everybody in between. So you stop in the front office and you'll be, let's say you're working for company XYZ, and you'll say, I'm John Smith and I'm here to go up and look at a boiler. You'll take your driver's license, you'll feed it into the Raptor system. It runs through some minor background checking, and then it puts you into the database so we know, okay, John Smith is associated with company XYZ. I'll say, John, how long are you going to be on premise today? So then we create a badge for him or her. It's a the sticky badge. It'll say visitor. It'll have their picture on there, so you can actually look at the picture and the person and say, oh yeah, that is John Smith, and they're with this company, and they're supposed to be on here because they've on campus because they've ran through the office and the Raptor system. So you're a lot less apt to say, hey, wait a minute, what are you doing here? What's your purpose here? Because for security purposes, if you have somebody on campus you don't recognize, you know, each and every one of us as an employee, we have to question that. We have to say, hey, what's your purpose here? What are you doing here? Where are you supposed to be? Just to make sure everything's secure, everybody's safe. And the Raptor system will really help with that. Another thing that the Raptor system does is if a student has, let's say, a doctor's appointment and they need to leave it at 1 o'clock. Used to be they'd come into the office, they'd sign a sheet, date it. The office personnel would date it and sign it. And then 2 months from now, let's say Mr. Herb said, hey, where was little Johnny at on 8 or 9:21 at 10 a.m.? He said he had a doctor's appointment, but we need to prove that. We have to go back and look through the paperwork and you know, hopefully understand and or be able to read everybody's writing. Now we have a database of, oh, yeah, Johnny left at 12:30 on 9:21 for a doctor's appointment, picked up by mom, dad, guardian, whoever happens to be the person picking them up, and they're authorized to do that. And we'll compare the note, we'll scan the note. And then in the event Ithaca would ever get some sort of a resource officer or if there happens to be somebody checking doors one day and maybe not another day, a little sticky tag is created for that student as well, which allows them to say, I'm going from the school to my parents' car and I'm going to my appointment. That way when somebody stops, hey, little Johnny, where are you going? And little Johnny could be like, well, I'm following Phil Knee's footsteps. I'm going to sneak out of school. Ah, no, back in school you go. Oh, wait a minute. I have a sticky pass. And then that person, that staff member can look at that and say, okay, you know, get going, get to the car.
It's a big safety thing though, isn't it?
Very much so. 100%. Yeah. 100%. It's, and Raptor has a lot of other technology they offer as well. We just haven't integrated a lot of things yet because we have a really decent camera system, shot detector system, you know, key fob system, various other things that we've implemented through the years, pretty much like from 2015 forward, that we're really happy with. So we haven't integrated more of Raptor. We may moving down the line when we go to upgrade things or to add systems, but it is definitely, it's about safety. Safety of the students, safety of the staff, safety and the ability to have a safe campus. You know, so once you lock those doors, you know who's in, you know who's out, and everybody's where they're supposed to be.
So anybody visiting Ithaca Schools has to stop by the office anyway. That's been the way for
correct,
quite a while.
Correct. So, yeah. So this the new component on that, Phil, is that we get to create a sticky badge for you. We can at a glance, staff members can say, oh, that is, you know, that is Jenny, and she is supposed to be on here, and, you know, she can just go about her way to help out in the 4K room. You know, she's bringing snacks and going to do a puppet time. And now we can identify that through the system. We have her in the database now, so we know who's on campus. And in an emergency situation, you know, the sheriff's department, you know, there could be a power outage or flooding or trees down blocking the road, and it's an emergency situation, and the sheriff's department could say, hey, who's all in the building? Well, I can give you a staff list and a student list. Now I can give you a vendor and community list. So now we have, you know, we have 422 people in the building. Boom, here's all their names. Hit print. Here you go.
It's amazing. Technology. And then also for the students, you know, you've had Chromebooks in the school for quite some time. Is there an update on that?
Yeah. So we in 2016, then Principal Paul Coonan and myself, when I came on board in 2015, there was a computer lab with a few operating Windows 7 computers in it and a computer cart that had 15 functioning laptops in it for the entire school. Mr. Coonan and myself, we got together, rattled our brains around a little bit and said, hey, let's look at doing one-to-one. And when Mr. Bob Schmoody hired me, he one of the first questions was, how are you with Google? I said, well, you know, I've been working with Google since basically their inception. I'm Google certified. And I'm like, why? And he said, well, we're thinking about, you know, eventually here having Google accounts for students and then getting Chromebooks. And then when I came on board, I worked with Mr. Coonan, and I'm like, you know what? Let's make this sooner than later. So we did fundraisers, and you know, bless Paul Coonan for doing a lot of the lead work on that, getting sponsorships and fundraisers and fish fries and donations, and we raised over half of the money. The school board met with the other half of the money, and we made an initial purchase of 6th grade through senior year Chromebooks. And then a year or two later, we worked on getting tablets for 4K through 5th grade. So then we had a complete one-to-one. And when the pandemic hit and the DPI said, we're going to close schools, all but, you know, this was on a Friday. So Monday, everybody in the state of Wisconsin is virtual. A lot of school districts scrambled like you wouldn't believe because they didn't have one-to-one technology, in some big districts even. We were in a position where, yeah, we had some scrambling to do. We had to get a lot of the curriculum that was maybe not necessarily in Google Classroom at the time. Teachers had to scramble behind the scenes to get that stuff ready. We had to get quickly. We've always had Zoom accounts since I came on board, but we had to train teachers who hadn't used Zoom, and staff members and students who hadn't used Zoom before. So we did. We had our share of scrambling during that, but we were ready technology-wise, where we had students come in, pick up their devices, send them home, and they were ready for out-of-building learning. Of course, much better. You get a much better learning product when you have students in the building for most of the study time. But for what we had to do, We handled that. Now, the flip side to that is, oh, it's great, you have one-to-ones, and that's fantastic. And how many devices? Well, just a little under 400 for students alone. That includes tablets and Chromebooks. But Chrome devices have a 4-year viable shelf life. So that means you have to get on a rotation after your initial 6-figure investment, and you wipe your brow and say, hey, I think we're done. We're not done. And this is where we have a very agreeable school board and community tax base, which, you know, they want the best for the Ithaca students. And that's what you should be willing to do, is to send your students from Ithaca to UW, Milwaukee, or Madison, or Princeton, and compete. Technology-wise and knowledge-wise, students coming from Milwaukee districts, Madison, La Crosse, wherever they're coming from, we're going to have little Johnny be able to fire up that Chromebook and get into his Google account and know exactly what's going on Microsoft-wise. When an instructor, a professor at the college level says, do this, this, and this, you know, because little Johnny doesn't have to say, raise his hand and say, excuse me, what? he's on a level, or she's on a level playing field. Like I said, the downside is 25% of your entire fleet has to be budgeted for replacement every year, mm-hmm. because it's a 4-year shelf life on them for operating systems and updates and from Google. So that means, you know, in the 5th year, you're replacing, you know, so you've got through your 4 years heading into that 5th school year, then you need, you know, 25% to replace the first 25% that came into the building, and then you do that the next year and the next year and the next year. Last year, we did not replace Chromebooks because we had applied and been granted a grant to help offset the cost of 150 Chromebooks. Oh, that's fantastic. That's wonderful. It was a federal grant, and it didn't actually come through. The grant didn't come through until June of this year.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so that put us, you know, 50% replacement rate. Luckily, the grant was for 150, which is a little lower than our 50%, but we're back on track now, getting those into service. So I'm not going to lie, there was some panic on Adam's part if I would have said, you know, if that grant wouldn't have come through at the end and the Fed said, oh, you know what, we're gonna yank that grant, and I would be like, now we're on the hook for 200 devices in a single year. And that's, you know, that's costly. And you know, we appreciate every dime the taxpayers in our district are putting into the school. And my goal has always been, how can we do this the best but most cost-effective way? And I pride myself in being able to do that. You know, the farm boy from Keysville, how can we tinker with this and get this together and then, you know, compete with the big farms? We can do this. Yeah, so we've gotten to the point where, you know, we're back on track now. We'll be releasing those 150 new devices into the fleet this coming year, and then come December we'll start the 25. We'll probably do about 30% to make up for the few percent that we dropped the ball on this year. Didn't drop the ball on, just didn't, you know, the grant didn't come through when it was supposed to. So we'll start that process in December and then start purchasing about 28% of them, of the fleet, and have them ready for a year from this time. So when I'm talking to you next year, right here, it'll be a 25 or 28% replacement instead of 150 devices. So, but they're huge. I mean, Chromebooks are they're huge in the world of technology. They're an inexpensive device. They don't need a lot of storage space because everything's cloud based. When a student leaves Ithaca, they get to take their account with them. They can have their cloud account with them, so they can pull off a paper that they wrote when they were a freshman. They need some stats for, you know, maybe some college work. They have access. They might not have the Chromebook or a Chromebook, but they have access to their full Google account once they move on. So yeah, Google has done leaps and bounds for the education world.
When you talk about getting those new Chromebooks or laptops in, is there much setup, or are you just pretty much just get the address and go?
Yeah, there's some setup, and that's where I'm thankful every day. I have a couple of employees that do a great job for me, Aaron Ferriance and Wyatt Laucant, both Ithaca graduates. They both actually started as student interns for me, and then once they graduated Ithaca, they're like, hey, you know, I'm like, you guys want to stick around and keep working? And they're like, hey, yeah, why not? So I have them as part-time employees. So you get them into the building. You have to put in the network, the password, and update it. So each Chromebook, and we have some areas in our school that have excellent brand new access points, so we can connect even while updating at any one time on a single access point, like 10 devices that are updating through Google. So earlier this summer, you would have seen my crew with a table with like 10 Chromebooks lined up, logged into all of them, updating them at the same time. So you can make hay while the sun shines, so to speak. But there's some setup involved. It'd be nice, you know, and you can buy what's called a white glove service, but then you end up paying another $10 to $15 per device to have the company that ships them put in the username, updates, and the password for the network, where, you know, my guys can knock out 10 of them and you know, less than an hour, probably 30 minutes per 10 to get them up and going. So there's a cost savings there. So we'll do it. We'll do the legwork if we can get a cost savings on those Chromebooks. So we don't do we don't normally do a white glove service because, you know, I have a great staff and that way we have complete control over updating.
First day of school is coming up soon, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. First day of school, September 1st, and then we get a little bit of a break, and then we come back on, what is it, the 4th, which is that Tuesday, maybe the 5th. I don't have the calendar in front of me, but open house, August 30th. So that's, you know, coming up very quickly as well, 4 to 6 p.m., start in the Commons there, meet some teachers, meet some staff, get any packets you don't have completed. So that's... yeah, that's right around the corner as well. I'm trying to see what is the actual date today?
The 22nd.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. So 8 days. 8 days we'll be running the open house. And then the first is the first day of school. And then another milestone, besides all, you know, volleyball and football, and we have a plethora of sports going on. September 21st, you want to spit shine the hair a little bit because we have picture day coming up. So and that'll run all day, you know, during school hours. You know, wear your good school pants and
the pants might not be in the shirt,
so yeah. Wear your good school shirt you know, put that colic down a little bit. That's coming up on the 21st.
It seems like the school year just kind of molded right into the new one with Ithaca winning the state baseball championship on June 15th. It seems like the years are connected here.
It reminds me, I wasn't around at Ithaca yet for the first state championship, which came in, what was that, 2014?
Well, actually, I went to state first, but they won the championship in 16.
16, yeah. So that's the one I was around for. But when they went to the state tournament in 2014, my daughter was in school at the time, and it very much seemed like the school year did not end. There wasn't a break. You know, baseball's done, and time to go back. You know, open house and
good problem to have.
Phil, it really is, especially for a little school like Ithaca. That baseball heritage is just it's just a great thing at Ithaca now.
Yeah, they've had a great run. Well, we'll continue more with Adam Hess talking about Ithaca schools and talking about the upcoming school year, which is right around the bend. This is the Morning Show. We'll be right back. Start of the school year is coming up, and we're focusing on the Ithaca School District today with Adam Hess, who is the IT guy at Ithaca, and he wears a lot of hats as well. Lots of things going on. It was kind of an eventful last school year, and you established the daycare at Ithaca for the first time.
Yeah, we did. We much like anything, when you jump into a project that maybe isn't your strong point, but you want to offer another service, you hit a bunch of road bumps and speed bumps and, you know, dips in your journey and a couple of detours. But we did. We got it up and running, and Miss Lynn is running it, and shameless plug, if you want to, you can always call the daycare if you have daycare needs, and they have their own phone number, 608-585-29. Let's make sure I have this right here. I think it's 2911. No, 2199. Okay, I got that right. 585-2199. But so it's associated with the school. The opportunity is there for parents who whose kids are getting out of school but don't necessarily have a place to go right after school. They can connect with the daycare. We had some technology challenges with that as well, because we bring this building in, we put it next to a gym, and we didn't want to cut through all the asphalt of the parking lot, but we had to get network to it. And in the past, we've ran what's called a point-to-point system, and we got network down in the lower gym, cameras and telephone and security system and all that in the lower gym. We also use a point-to-point system to have switch access and wireless access in the football booth. And so we thought, I worked with Jim Luxton. He's one of my main go-tos. Jim Luxton is
another alum there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like people doing what it takes. but we put our heads together and we're like, another point-to-point system would work. We had we were down lower ground level. We were where we couldn't get point-to-point from the main school down to daycare. So we came up with the grand idea of taking a feed from the football booth, which is literally, 100, maybe 150 feet away, unobstructed view of the daycare. So we took a point-to-point from there down to the daycare. Worked great. Then just recently, in the last few days, we had a component in that fail. So Miss Lynn would be on the phone dropping calls. She'd be, and bless her for her patience as we diagnosed what was going on with this. She'd be in the middle of a Zoom, network would drop. She'd be trying to send an email, network would drop. And she was just always so kind. She'd be like, Adam, the network's down again. I'm like, okay, we've got this figured out. We just need to get a replacement part. We had to replace a faulty transceiver, and knock on wood, we're up and running. We've been up and running for a couple of days now without any dropped network packets or anything. So, so there's always the little bit of hurdles that you have to go over. And we're also, for future projects, with that point-to-point system, which works great. Jason Marshall programs it. Then we program it on our side once Jim Luxton gets it out there, and then he installs it. And we've got this is the third point-to-point we put in, so we have a pretty seamless process. We want to get matching network to the softball booth and matching network to the baseball booth, which right now we have great wireless coverage on the outside of our property, outside the buildings. You can pull up the parking lot, any parking lot on our campus, and you can get wireless network. We set that up during the pandemic, actually, where we wanted community members, students, parents, whoever needed access to maybe, download some documents or some files, and maybe your internet at home wasn't up to the task, or you'd hit your limit of gigabytes for the month, or students to be able to pull in some work and take home with them on their Chromebook. So we established an outside perimeter of wireless access points. So we have that in the baseball booth, but we want to give softball and baseball the same options that football has with their own wireless access point, which creates just a really good footprint for fans there, plus the ability for broadcasters, whether it be us on YouTube or various radio or TV stations that want to use a network. If you're broadcasting, you always want to try to use a wired network if you can, just because of the stability is higher than a wireless network, and that's just the nature of the game of technology. So we want to be able to put that switch and that access point in each one of those booths to match the technology footprint of the football booth. So those are things moving forward, but we've definitely proven with the daycare and the football booth and the lower gym property that we can definitely do it and do it pretty well.
It won't be long. The Ithaca Fair will be here, although it's a little later this year.
Yeah, it is, and that's right around the corner. And we're prepping technology for that, for the fair as well. For the judging, computer judged or not computer judged, but the judges entered into a centralized location, and then we're printing things instead of hand writing things. And then we've had a couple of organizations reach out to us to get them on a secure network within the building, a wireless network on the ground, so they can run what's called a square. It's a point of sale device that plugs into an Android phone, tablet, or Apple phone or tablet, iPad, and it allows you to accept credit cards. You just plug it into the device, log into your Square account, swipe the credit card or debit card, and you can sell whatever, whether it be your T-shirts for PTSO, or maybe the FAA selling something, or the band and choir at some point take debit and credit cards right at point of sale for the lunches they put on. So that's moving forward. So technology touches everything. Here you have a fair with a triple digit year heritage, and you think back to some of the first ones, and they were horse and wagon pulling in some straw to get down there, and that's great. That heritage is great. And now we're moving into the next phase, where how can we incorporate technology to make a little bit of a more seamless event for vendors and fairgoers as well. So we're getting to that point now. You as a participant or a visitor to the fair may not see it this year unless you're specifically buying maybe PTSO gear, but the day will come where you will see it. If you grab you grab one of the lunches there, you'll have the ability to use your plastic, and that's all that relies upon a strong and secure technology backbone.
That's the weekend of October 7th, I believe it is.
I think you're right.
For the fair, yeah, because I know football-wise, it's the second of the last week of the regular season,
right,
which is fairly late, so you never know. It'll probably be a nice day, I think.
Yeah, it could be down in the 20s, could
chilly.
Be up in the 70s. You never know what you're going to get from September 1st to the end of October. When you get into November, we're going to be pretty steady into the chilly weather for sure, but October, you can get that rebound summer and have a week of 70s. I've also seen below zero, not for the fair, but last year, I think I want to say like the second week of September, September 10th, maybe last year's fair, and this year. Yeah. So we're like nearly a month apart.
Month later. So yeah. We'll be having more announcements about that, about entries and different things and the big block challenge and all of those things that go on with the Ithaca Fair.
Yeah, your community check, you can definitely be covering, I'm sure you will be. You'll have plenty of Ithaca people in this chair right here, and they'll be talking about everything from, what the meal's going to be, what the, who the benefactor is, the, livestock auction we always do with the showing of the cattle and the pigs and the rabbits and even a turkey and a chicken out there occasionally.
Absolutely.
So lots to look forward to, and that's always a fun time. It definitely is, and it gives, the biggest thing in my mind is I love announcing the parade with you. You and I get out there and we announce that parade, and we have a lot of fun with that in the football game and the good food. But the big thing is you get to showcase students' abilities, whether it be displaying some pottery they made or the ability to raise and keep a calf alive and train it well enough to show it. So, you know, the students, that's who really shine during the school fair.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit. We talked about safety in the school. The other thing is comes into play is safety while online. And, you know, another topic that's been in the news a lot is AI.
Yes.
And, you know, moving forward in some ways that maybe teachers in the classroom can try to avoid that, because, you know, Phil Nee back in the day had a theme. You know, I could just say, write me a theme on why I should be quiet in class, and, you know, 500 words would be spewed out with AI now.
It's and you could definitely even, you could make that a little more sound a little more like Phil Nee. You could tell that AI, I live in the Midwest, right? I live in Wisconsin. I need a random 500 word theme on the topic of, put whatever you want in there, you know, road closures in Forest County, right? Mm-hmm. So they will use terminology that's specific, the AI will use terminology that is specific to what Midwesterners or Wisconsinites would use. So it's tricky. It's tricky business. And every moment we move forward, the AI becomes a little more harder to detect. And I mean, and that obviously it's a real thin line, because that's the goal. If you are in the world of AI, you want to make intelligence, artificial intelligence, that is as close to non-artificial as possible. Otherwise, you just have a computer spewing out, you know, facts, figures, and data. But the other side of that line is, how far do we really want to go with this? Where if I'm having a conversation with somebody or an email exchange, I really, you know, and it's good enough, or handing in a term paper or a theme, it's really written well enough. I don't know if I'm speaking to a person or if that was generated using artificial intelligence. So we do currently, we have safeguards in place. Now, nothing's 100%, and it's really up to the teacher to be able to look at a term paper turned in and say, okay, does little Johnny really have this ability to write this good of a term paper, right? Are these terms that little Sally would be using in any other paper she did? And that's where we rely on a teacher, and we're in a small enough district where we have a lot of one-on-one that way. Now, you know, if a teacher's, you know, looking at 70 or 80 term papers per hour per class period, it's going to be a little harder. You know, we have the advantage where, you know, I think about, you know, Miss Pope, she has the ability to look and say, you know, that doesn't look like little Sally's handwork, so we're going to go talk to her. And but our safeguards include, you know, we have our firewalls in place, and some of our firewall companies that we use are introducing new AI deterrents. We use Go Guardian. They're cutting edge on identifying terminology from AI in a school setting, and then Google as well. Now here's that flying line again, Phil. Is we're putting Google in charge of the hen house, and I love Google. Don't get me wrong. I have a lot of respect for what they've done for education. But who's on the forefront of AI research? Google,
okay.
Right? So I tell them, hey, you know, I'm a school district out here in Wisconsin, and can you kind of block AI? And you know, they wink to their AI department. We'll block it. You know, sure we will. Well, it kind of defeats the purpose of their AI department. Now, with that having been said, I'm not questioning the integrity of Google. I'm just saying it's a little finer line to where what they identify as AI products, what I identify as an AI product, they might identify as an innovative tool for students to use moving forward. So that's why we don't solely rely on Google to watch the hen house. I bring in, you know, we bring in Fortinet, we bring in SonicWall, you bring in Go Guardian, and all that in conjunction, you try to make a ease of use, yet a gated safe area for students and staff alike.
Okay. Adam Hess on the morning show today. We'll be back with a final portion in just a moment. The school year is fast approaching, and Adam Hess of Ithaca Schools is our guest today with a special open house coming up on August 30th.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we got here, Phil. You know, it just seems like I have this joke with a lot of teachers in my wing near my office, and like if I'm having a particularly stressful day, I'll walk out and I'll see one of them, and I'll be like, granted, this is like September through April. I'm like, is it May yet? Is it May? And then when May gets here, one of them will always joke with me, is it June yet? You know, here we are. When did September get into the windshield here, you know?
Oh, man. It's close.
My goodness.
So you have some upcoming events as we start the school year to talk about.
Yeah. We, technology-wise, Phil, we have hotspots provided by a grant through TKK Electronics out of Milwaukee and a company called Fortinet. Now, everybody that's in the technology world will know Fortinet as a VPN, firewall creator. They do a lot of safety measures on the internet. So they took a bunch of 400 of them for us, a bunch of hotspots, cellular hotspots, and they put their Fortinet software on it, which gives my staff and myself the ability to 100% control who gets on the hotspot, what's it used for, what can connect to it. So now we have a little bit of a hurdle. They're trying to get them activated, and they shipped Milwaukee ones that are tuned to Milwaukee cellular towers out to us. They think they can change them, so hopefully they do. Otherwise, it may be a couple of weeks into the district before we hand them out. But what that's going to do, it's going to give students the ability to take a hotspot home with them, and if they have questionable internet at home, maybe they have, you know, limited data, maybe they have no internet. I mean, there are families in our area without internet capability. If you can get cellular signal, you can use one of these Fortinet hotspots, or it's a Mobi. MOBEE is the brand name of the hotspot, but controlled by Fortinet. And we're going to assign them just like we assign Chromebooks. So every staff member, every student will have the ability. So if there's, you know, three members of a family or three students in one family, we're going to send three home. That way, Johnny, Sally, and little Jimmy can all work independently on their homework, on their device, and not worry about, you know, Johnny's taking all the hotspot signal. Well, you know, little Sally, you'll have your own. So we, and working with TKK, and Julie Prouty actually wrote for this grant through TKK and Fortinet, and this was another federal one, gave us the ability to have one for every member that has a device in the Ithaca district. So moving forward, hopefully they're handed out at the same time we hand out Chromebooks. There's the possibility where we may have to ship these 400 back and they get 400 new ones in transit. But once they're here and program, and here's where the programming comes in, Phil, is you fire one of these Mobis up, it finds a tower. It doesn't matter if it's a U.S. Cellular, AT&T, or Verizon tower. It's operational through Mobi and Fortinet. So that's where these may be tuned more towards like a T-Mobile type tower or something different that we don't have here. And that's why they're not acting like they're activated. So we'll get to it. I've got some good guys down in the Milwaukee area working on it with me. Once we get that resolved, we'll have hotspots to go. So I'm kind of excited about that to help with what we call the internet desert.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we live in. And if we can provide that, you know, that's just one more thing we can provide for our staff and students.
And Zoom phones, right?
Yeah. So that's another grant that was started by Julie Prouty and then picked up by Mr. Greg Herbst. We're moving forward with that. We'll find out in September if we pass the first round of this. But basically, we're looking at getting phones in and work in conjunction with our existing IP to copper phone systems that we have now, which are basically the NEC that we have here at the station too. What this is going to allow is we can put in every classroom, every closet, every common area, a phone that also connects through the Zoom function. So it's a regular phone, but it's also built-in camera, built-in screen. That gives us the ability where if there's an emergency and you know, Frank Waslick's stuck in one of the closets and can't get it open, we have the ability through our network for Frank to be able to call either the front office with a Zoom or you know, the sheriff's department and admit that he's stuck in a closet. So he'll probably call my number.
Yeah,
Adam, help me.
And again, a great function, some technology that not available not even very long ago.
Right. Well, if you go back to 2019, Zoom didn't have phones. 2020, Zoom didn't have phones. 2021, they had phones that had Zoom capability. Now this is an actual phone designed and produced in accordance with Zoom standards. So it's a phone that was set to design first and foremost to function under Zoom capabilities, and then a regular telephone as a secondary function, even though it, you know, it's going to work great. So it's amazing where technology has come even in the last 5 years, let alone, you know, the 12 years since you and I've been in school, right? 13 years?
Yeah, something like that. That's how many years I was in seventh grade that long. Well, we want to keep talking about Ithaca School District on a morning show during the year, so we'll invite back members. We appreciate that. I know you have some new staff members coming in.
Would you like to have
them over?
Lots of new staff, and we'd love to get. I know he's wearing a lot of hats, but we're going to get Mr. Herbst over here as well, and he can definitely, you know, tell you about the new staff and we're very excited about who we have coming into the building this year, along with our existing staff. We have just a wonderful cast of characters out there ready to lead into the next century with students and just training them to get ready to face the world. And Mr. Herbst, we'll get him hopefully sometime early September. I'll tell him I'm taking him out for a coffee, and I'll just bring him over here and put him in front of a microphone.
Sure, put him on the spot.
Oh, he'll handle that great.
He does a great job when he comes, so appreciate it. And Adam, good luck as you get ready for the new school year.
Thank you. You as well with football and volleyball and everything that you'll be handling here at the radio station. We as a district, and I know the rest of the districts do as well, appreciate you and WRCO and Civic Media. We wouldn't have the coverage without you.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate that. And if some Chromebooks start being sold on Prime Mover with a mysterious call, we'll know that.
Hey, you can only sell three of them.
You can only sell three at a time. Adam Hess joining us here on the morning show from Ithaca Schools.